This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
We're at this place this morning to celebrate Jesus Christ and his resurrection on a cross. And so thank you for being with us this morning and taking time out of your schedule to join us on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about who is Jesus. And I want to start off with like moments in life. How many of you know we all have moments in your life, maybe moments that you remember? And I thought this morning I'd like to introduce you to my Easter moment today. I'll introduce you to my Easter moment. And my Easter moment goes like this. Peeps. How many of you like Peeps? Anybody like Peeps? Raise your hand if you like Peeps. Come on. We need to pray the spirit of Peep out of you, all right? Peeps, this is my Easter moment. There is a reason that these little critters, I don't like them at all. Like when I see them, they make me cringe. I don't like the peace moment. And it goes a little something like this. Many years ago, right, I had this moment on Easter. It was the Easter Sunday, and my parents had got me Peeps, and they left me unattended with my Peeps. They weren't there to supervise me. And I found myself sitting there a moment devouring my whole 8-pack of Peeps. But then I thought, these aren't bad. So I devoured my brother's 8-pack of Peeps. I devoured my other brother's 8-pack of Peeps. And then I devoured my sister's pink 8-pack of Peeps. I mean, it was really good. And how many of you know I devoured all my Peeps that I got to the moment that later that night, I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. I mean, I was young many years ago. And I found myself later that night regretting that I ate all those 8-packs of Peeps. In fact, I got extremely, extremely sick that night. I mean, it was really, resurrection took on a whole new meaning. It took on a whole new meaning for me, man. Those Peeps came back to life, right? My esophagus was rolled away and the Peeps came back to life, right? But here's the point, that even to this day, like even being close to these right now make me nauseous, right? That even being around them, you ever written that before? Like there's something, it brings back this memory when I see these Peeps, and sometimes my wife puts them in our kids' basket, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like you've caused the sin. But there's something about it, even to these days, that seeing these goes but here's the reality. How many know that something that happened all these years ago, I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, still has an effect on me today? And I would ask you this morning is, what's your peep? I mean, what's that thing in your life, because we all have it, right? What's that one peep in your life that has an effect on you to still today? Like you still see it, and it just causes you to cringe, it causes you to, it brings back a memory, it brings back a thought, and you're like, oh, wow. I want to start off with a question this morning. What is the greatest moment of your life? Like what was that, if you had to sit and think for a moment, can you really put your finger on what was the greatest moment in your life? If you had to look back and you had to, it's that one thing that makes your heart jump. It's that one thing that causes your heart to flutter or to causes these memories in your life. Sometimes it's something we see or hear or smell, but have you ever, you know, it could be many things. It could have been, maybe for some of you, it's the time you gave your life to Christ and that brings back a memory to you. Or maybe it, you know, was the time where you got the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. You know what I mean? Because you really wanted it. Or maybe you're a young lady in here, you remember that first dollhouse or toy. It brings back that moment for you. Maybe it was when you met that someone special and you're like, oh, I love you and I'm going to marry you and we're going to have 50 kids and it's just going to be a grand life and all these types of things, and it brings back that moment. Maybe for you it's the birth of a child, a wedding day, or an accomplishment, a degree, or a sporting event. Whatever it might be, what is that moment in your life that just brings back that goodness to you, that brings back those warm and fuzzies to you? You know, that moment that you probably would say, this is the greatest day, the greatest event of my life. You know, today we gather into this room, and I think we're all here to talk about the greatest moment in all of history. The greatest moment, the greatest moment that challenged everything that we know. It still challenges everything we know. The greatest moment that is still being talked about today, that still impacts the world today, thousands and thousands of years later, it's still a moment. It's still something that comes back to us. The greatest moment that makes available, that changes everything that we know. And so this morning, we're gathered here today, and we want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we're here today. That's why we celebrate and focus on Easter, this Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate, that Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, but yet 3 days later, he wasn't defeated. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And what does that mean for us today? Maybe you're here and you've sat through so many Easter services or so many Sundays, or maybe you're here today and you've never had that opportunity, or this is all new to you. But the reality is this: we do have something to celebrate today. We have something to focus on. And I want to talk about that, but here's the deal. I maybe want to look at it a little differently. I want to look at maybe another resurrection that that had come, and then we'll come back around and we'll talk about Christ. When we look at scripture, there's one particular story where we find that Jesus has these groups of this group of friends, right? And he's friends with this man, one particular man. His name is Lazarus. And he was also friends with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And they're all close to Jesus. They're tight, very close friends. And I can imagine this family of siblings have had the opportunity to have dinner with Jesus, to spend close time with him. I'm imagining this family of siblings, they've probably had him at their home and ate with him. They have probably saw him perform miracles. They've had the opportunity to hear him preach. I mean, the reality is they knew who he was. They were close to him. They had a relationship with him. And here we find in this particular story, Jesus is at a location. In fact, he's less than 2 miles away from where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are. And all of a sudden, we find that Lazarus gets sick. I mean, to the point where he is on his deathbed, and they send word to Jesus. And they're like, hey, Jesus, we need some help here. Lazarus, your good friend Lazarus, he is sick. He's fallen sick, and we need you to come quickly. He needs your attention. He needs your healing power. And Jesus' response is not one that, you know, you would normally find with somebody who's a really close friend. Jesus' response is more like, okay. Have you ever been that before where, like, you're excited about something, and then you tell someone, and they don't respond the same way? It kind of makes you mad. Like, hey, I'm so excited about this. And then they just go, oh, it's great. You're like, oh, that's not what I was looking for, but thank you. It's kind of the same thing. They're looking for this response, and Jesus is going to drop everything, and he's going to run to them. But we find in the scripture, it's the total different response. Jesus is kind of like, okay, and he begins to just continue to go about his business. No rush, no drop everything, just going about his business. Jesus doesn't immediately go to Lazarus. And in the meantime, we know in the scripture that Lazarus dies. He dies. Now imagine, Jesus didn't show up. He didn't rush to be by Lazarus' bedside, but he could have helped, absolutely. He could have. He's the Son of God. He could have been there. He could have obviously been there, probably healed Jesus, do all those things. And yet, they knew he could perform miracles. They knew he could do all these types of things, but he doesn't immediately show up to help his friend. So we know there's a funeral, right? They bury him. They put Lazarus in a tomb. And here's where we pick up this morning. In John chapter 11, starting at verse 17, simply says this. On his arrival, so Jesus finally decides to go to be where Lazarus is. And it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. So we know that Jesus didn't immediately rush to be by Lazarus' side. But so here's what I know. When Jesus finally shows up 4 days later, I can only imagine the tension that is there. Like, all that is over, the funeral's been had, whatever celebration, whatever custom that was in place, it's all been done. So you can imagine the tension that's in the place. And now Jesus shows up. Now the good friend shows up. And the Bible tells us in verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Now, what's going on here? I think what's happening in Martha's mind, I don't think she's running out to hug Jesus. I don't think she's running out to say, oh, we're so glad you're finally here now. I think she's about to go and go, hey, bro, where were you? I think she was ready to go out and give Jesus a piece of her mind. I think she was about to go out and she was going to let him have it. Hey, it's been 4 days. Why didn't you come to our friends? Lazarus was your friend. Why haven't you been here? We knew that if only you wouldn't have been here. Jesus, my brother, my friend has died because you wouldn't come back. Because you wouldn't drop everything and be there. And I'm sure she's angry. And I'm sure she's confused. And I'm sure she's kind of heartbroken and upset. And look how the response goes in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So here's this incredible weight she's feeling, this incredible disappointment. Jesus, if you would have been here, if only you would have showed up, this wouldn't have happened to my brother. This incredible, but I love that the second part of this, right? There's this disappointment, but then she flips the script. Then she changes everything around and then she says this to him and she shows her faith in Jesus. Even now, 4 days later, she says this, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. It's incredible faith that she flips on him. And look how Jesus responds to her in John 11, verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again, Martha. Or your brother will rise again. Martha then answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So basically she said, yeah, I know he's gonna rise again. I mean, we're all gonna see him in heaven one day. We're all gonna get there. And I get that, Jesus. But then Jesus says to her something so powerful and so shattering that we need to drill on that today. It's why we sit in this room. Jesus replies to her in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha replies, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha goes back to her sister. The Bible tells us he goes back to his sister. Mary comes out and the friends come out and they're all crying. They're weeping. And as you can imagine, this place is probably full of emotion. Their friend Lazarus has been dead. They're in mourning. Then you add to the emotion, now Jesus has showed up. Wish he would have showed up 4 days earlier, but Jesus now shows up. And the place is full of emotion. And then the Bible says this one thing in John 11:35. It simply says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That's it. That's all it says. Jesus wept. Now, I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in VBS. And they would say to us in class when I was young, they say, hey, if you memorize a Bible verse and come back next week, you'll win a prize. You'll win a prize. Truth. I got this, right? So kids would show up in class. I memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And they would go to the next guy, I memorized Acts 2:4. You know, the room was filled with da, da, da. And they would say, Heath, your turn. I said, I memorized John 11:35. Jesus wept. Candy, please. Was that easy? Jesus wept. Why would Jesus cry? Like, it doesn't seem to make sense. Why would Jesus cry? Hear me this morning. I think Jesus was crying because his heart was breaking. His heart was breaking for them. Remember, Jesus is God, but he's also fully human. He felt what we felt. He had emotions, and his heart broke by the pain that they felt. I mean, the reality is this. Did Jesus know that Lazarus was going to die? Sure he did. Did Jesus know the situation? Absolutely. Did he know the ending to the situation? Did he know that he was the resurrection? And yet, all those things is yes, but yet he's still weeping. Why is he weeping? Because he saw them weep. His heart broke for them. I think it's amazing that you and I serve a God who cries with us. We serve a God who cries with us. We serve a God who laughs with us. I mean, think about it. The Son of God. God put part of himself into the Son, and he comes to the earth to experience what we experience so that he can relate to us. And that's the kind of Jesus that we serve. And so we go on in this story where it says here in John 11:38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. He has been there for 4 days. Now imagine, you know, we're talking about the Mediterranean heat. We're talking about it probably would not have been good. Talk about customs that were involved. You have to respect the body and all these types of things. And now Jesus is saying, hey, roll the stone away. I mean, it was so unconventional. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. So they do what he says, and he goes on, and he says, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, once the stone was removed, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Today, if you grab one thing as you sit here on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, if you grab one thing, I want you to grab this one life-changing thing. Remember what he said in John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Hear me today. We are celebrating. It's Easter Sunday. You look your best. You're going to go be with family and friends, and it's Easter, and that was an event. It's something we celebrate, but hear me this morning. I want you to grab this. The resurrection is not an event only. The resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. The resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. It's not just an event. Jesus himself is the resurrection. What does that mean for us? That means what happened 2,000 years ago, guess what, is still happening today. What happened 2,000 years ago is still happening today in your life, in my life. It means we are never beyond hope, that we are never unlovable. Christ is there, and he can reach each and every one of us regardless of where we are today. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. And so how does that apply to us today? It's not something that happened back then. It's not something we look back and go, wow, that happened in the past. I believe this. I believe the fact that Jesus is the resurrection, it still happens today. It happens to all of us. It can happen for you and it can happen for me. Listen, I believe this, no matter where you are on the dial of faith, no matter where, you could be all the way here, you could be all the way there. No matter where you are on the dial of faith, Jesus is your resurrection. Whatever scenario or situation you find yourself in, Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your peace. He is your joy. He is your portion. Jesus is your resurrection. So how does the resurrection happen for us? I think all of us, without Christ, the reality is this. Without Christ, we're spiritually dead. Right? Like Lazarus, we are locked in a tomb. We are bound, no light. We are spiritually dead without Jesus. We have no real connection with God. We have no real relationship with him. And we're typically, as human beings created by a divine God, we're typically searching for fulfillment in every area of our lives. Why? Because within us, something is missing when we're not connected to the resurrection. Something's missing. You got to get this thought. Here's what I know this morning. Here's what I know. Jesus brings dead things to life. Jesus brings dead things to life. That's why we sit here this morning. That's what he does. Remember the scripture when he said to this, he said, Jesus called a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. I believe this. Jesus brings life to spiritually dead people. He brings life to them. In fact, we see this in Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means we're born to sin, right? It's part of us. It's part of our spiritual DNA. We're always prone to sin. That's the flesh. That's the side of us, that the fleshly side of us. We're always prone to it. And that's why you and I need a savior. If we didn't have that part of us, then if we didn't have that spiritual, fleshly DNA part of us, then why would Jesus even need to come here in the first place? And all of us sitting here in this room today, or you're watching online today, we've all done some wrongdoings. We've all done wrong things. Because what is sin? I mean, sin is disobedience to God. It's our wrongdoing. And every one of us have done wrong things, right? And that's why we need a Savior. And it's beyond our ability to save ourselves. We can't get there on our own, right? We need a Savior. We need a resurrection. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We are trapped, right? We're hopeless. We're stuck. But thank God for Jesus. Because we don't have to stay there. We don't have to be stuck anymore. We don't have to be wrapped up in grave clothes because we have Jesus, right? We see this in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which means this, yeah, we live this life, we live out sin, it leads to death, but guess what? There's a gift. There's a gift to God, and this gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's a gift that God has given us. And here's what I know about a gift. A gift is not earned. In fact, when you receive a gift, what does it do? It reveals the generosity of the giver. When you receive a gift, it reveals the generosity of the giver. The gift we receive speaks of the one who gives it. And it speaks of the love that God has for us. I mean, have you ever got that gift that just messed you up? I mean, in a good way. Like, it just messed you up. You ever got that gift and you're like, why did you do that? I can't believe you would do that for me. And you know what? We have this Heavenly Father who gives us the gift of his Son. And it reveals his generosity. It reveals his love for us. It says, I'm going to prove my love to you and I'm going to give you my Son, Jesus Christ. And see, I believe this. Jesus wasn't resurrected. You got to get this morning. It'll be on the screen. But here's the reality for the church world today. Jesus wasn't resurrected to take us from bad to good, but from death to life. Get that this morning. Jesus wasn't resurrected so that you can become a good person. Jesus wasn't resurrected so you can live a good life. Jesus is resurrected so that you can have life. So that you can have life. From death to life. Did Jesus want to make me a good person? No. He doesn't want to make me a good person. He wants to make me an alive person. He wants to make me a spiritually alive person. And so hear me today. We are spiritual beings. We're just living in this human body, and God desires for us to wake up, and to see the potential that each of you have when you give your life to Christ. He wants to resurrect those dead things in your life. Like, maybe you're at one point you were young, and God placed a call on your life, and somewhere along the journey, it died. Do you know that God wants to resurrect that? Maybe there's somewhere that along the line you've been doing really well with the Lord and there's something that's tripped up your journey. I just think that God wants to resurrect that journey in your life. I just believe that God has things in each and every one of us that he wants to resurrect, that he wants to bring to life. Because you have to remember the foundational scripture for us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? It's a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. And that is why we're here this morning. That is why we celebrate a resurrected Savior. That's why Jesus is the resurrection, because he makes old things new. He makes old things new. We were dead, now we've been brought to life. And hear me this morning, as a pastor doing this for quite a few years, I have been able to see this firsthand. I can tell you stories and stories and stories of those who were spiritually dead, who now come spiritually alive. In fact, I can tell you a story from CLC. Watch this.
Hello, my name is Katie Connor, and this is my Jesus story. I was an alcoholic for years. I got to the point where I was drinking day and night on every day off of work that I had. I was pushing everyone away that I loved. It got to the point where I pushed the number one person I loved the most away and hurt her terribly, and it caused me to want to quit drinking. I knew I was not going to be able to do it by myself. I came to a place of worship where I was not going to give up until I felt his presence. I hungered for him so much that I locked myself in a room and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed to please just be with me, help me to let go of my old self. I wasn't feeling him for a long time and I finally just said, I trust you. And my whole body melted and I felt the Holy Spirit, and I knew right then and there that he was with me and he's gonna stay with me as long as I stay with him. Now it's been almost 3 years and I have a beautiful family that loves me and supports me, and I have grown a closer relationship to Jesus. One thing that I have noticed that helps me is through prayer and worship, just telling Jesus that I trust him and I can feel him grab a hold of me, and the Spirit comes around me and I know that he's there to help me through every day. I am Katie Connor and that's my Jesus story.
How many know? I just believe that Jesus brings dead things to life. And it wasn't a story. It's not stories in a book. It's not stories across the world, but it's stories right here in our church. God brings dead things to life. And that's why we're here. This is the kind of Jesus that we serve. Why? Because Jesus is a resurrected Savior. He's a resurrector. He is the resurrection. Christ brings dead things to life. You know what else resurrection means to us? It simply means this: Jesus sets the captives free. He sets the captives free. I mean, when you go back to Lazarus and you go back to his story, I love what he says there in John 11:39. He just proclaims to the group, hey, take away the stone. Take away the stone. I love what Christ does for us, right? He makes a way for us to find freedom. He says, hey, take away the stone. He removes what is holding us hostage in our lives. With Christ, there's always, hear me this morning, there's always a way out. There's always going to be a way of escape when it comes to Christ. You may feel stuck. You may feel like, I don't know if there's any hope for me. You know, you may even be in the room and feel like, you know, I haven't felt Christ's presence in such a long time. Hear me this morning. Jesus is our way out. He sets the captives free. He sets the depressed free. He sets the broken free. He sets the confused free. He sets the unbelief free. He sets hopelessness in our life free. Jesus is our way out. He makes it available to us. And thank God, because we've all been there, right? We've all made wrong turns along the way. See, I don't know about you, but I have to get around a lot of times with my GPS. And I don't know about you, I have the GPS and you're driving along and you know how you're like driving and all of a sudden you miss the turn. And you're like, I got to go to the next turn, or, oh, I got to do the U-turn, right? And especially in Missoula, you know, right? And so you're like, oh, I miss it. And the GPS always, you know, the beautiful lady voice comes on and it always reroutes you, right? And sends you the new way. But here's what I know. I've never heard my GPS, the beautiful lady voice that I have on, I've never heard it say to me, you are beyond lost. I've never heard the GPS say to me, there is no hope for you. Right? That'd be scary. I've never heard the GPS say, you're never going to get there. Like, that would be kind of a little creepy, right? I've never heard that. But how much more, Jesus never tells us that. Jesus, when we go, we make wrong turns and we go the wrong way, Jesus never says, you're beyond lost. Jesus never says, there's no hope for you. Jesus never says, you will never get there, right? Here's the thing, regardless of where you are, regardless of where we've been, there is a way out, and his name is Jesus. There's always a way out. You're never too far from the long-reaching arm of Christ Jesus. You're never too far. You're never too far for him to rescue wherever you are. And hear me this morning, it's never going to be easy, right? Following Christ is never easy. Submitting your life to him is never easy. It's not always, it's going to be uncomfortable. But hear me, there's always a way out. There's always a way to Christ. You'll never be truly lost. You're never beyond the love or the reach of Christ Jesus. Nothing you can do, hear me this morning, nothing you can do could ever make Christ love you more, and nothing you could do could ever make Christ love you less. Nothing. You gotta understand where Christ wants us to be free. There's a way out from shame. There's a way out from anger. There's a way out from doubt. There's a way out from sin, and his name is Jesus. Ephesians 3:18 says this. He's talking to his people, and it says, may have power together with all Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Basically, he's reminding us of how deep, how wide, how big the love of God is for you. And not only how big and deep and wide it is, it'd be one thing we just talked about, but that you can experience that deepness and that wideness, that love that God has for you, right? God has incredible love, and that love that sets us free. I call it like spiritual surgery. Like God wants to do this change in us where he comes in and he does this spiritual surgery that replaces the things that separate us from Christ and fills us with the full measure of God instead. And once we have that full measure, we're able to proclaim, Christ loves me. We're able to proclaim, he fills me with his love. We're able to proclaim, all doubt is removed and now I live for him. Christ's love enables you and me to forgive. It enables us to have confidence. It enables us to have trust and to serve and to love others. The love of Christ Jesus can allow you, hear me this morning, to forgive yourself. Because we all need to forgive ourselves. Because we're all facing, come on, no matter where you are, you have probably journeyed with a lack of trust. We've all probably journeyed with a lack of faith. We've all had a lack of obedience in our lives. And the love of Christ comes and it consumes us to say, you know what? I want to be different. I want something new for my life. And it compels us to want to discover, what does God have for me? I love him so much that I want to go about a journey to find what is it that God has for me. So the reality for us is that today is, do you know God's love? Have you truly experienced God's love? When was the last time you in this room took a moment, sat back and paused and realized how much Christ loves you? Hear me, you could be a saint in the faith. When was the last time you just sat and soaked in the fact that God truly loves you? There's no better day to do that than Easter Sunday. To remind yourself that God truly loves you. Because I know that Jesus brings dead things to life. I know that Jesus sets the captives free, but I also want you to understand this last thing this morning. Resurrection is messy. Resurrection is messy. Remember, Jesus calls him out. He says, Lazarus, come out. And then he says, the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now picture this, right? They roll the stone away. Everyone, if you were me and I were standing there and they rolled the stone away, I think our first anticipation was, oh my gosh, what's about to happen? The odor that's about to happen. The stench, the nastiness that's about to happen in this place. You could only imagine all the crowd that was around, the feeling they must have felt. And Jesus just calls him out. And all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, this guy comes hobbling out. I mean, resurrection's messy. He comes hobbling out, right? And I can't imagine the shock and awe that's going on, right? And all the range of the emotions of the people watching this happen. And here's Lazarus, and they're just staring at him like, what? He's alive, right? And Jesus is just calmly there like, in 2022 vocabulary, is like, come on, guys. Like, unloose him. And they're probably like, I ain't touching him. I don't want to be a part of that. That's messy. Who wants to be that first person to say, I got you, I'll do that. And yet Jesus is like, come on, guys, snap out of it. Unloose him, right? Same thing. When Jesus Christ resurrects us, when we come alive, right? When we're made new, many times we're made new, but yet we still have grave clothes on. We still have, like Lazarus, we still got these habits, these grave clothes that hang from us. We still got, you know, attitude problems. We still have thought problems. We have so many things that are a part of us. Even when Christ makes us new, we still have these grave clothes hanging from us. We have grave clothes. And you know what? Those grave clothes need to be pulled off. But how do you know resurrection is messy? But you know what's amazing? I think it's amazing how Jesus utilized the people around Lazarus to help him take those off. He utilized the people around him to help take those off. I mean, there's power in community. There's power when we come together. It's a powerful thing about the church, where believers come together and they extend grace. Why? Because we're all in process. We're all in process. In the process today, I'm in the process today of becoming more like Jesus, and so are you. I don't think any of us have arrived yet. In fact, I think most of us, no matter how young you are, you still have a little piece of grave clothes hanging on you. No matter how long you've been serving God, I guarantee there's some little piece of grave clothes still hanging on you that could be dealt with. Amen? Come on. Some of you are just too proud, I'm telling you. But I don't care who you are, how spiritually deep you are, I believe every one of us still have grave clothes that are hanging on us, because resurrection is messy. But there's something that when we come together as a church and as a believer, we all have these things that have to be taken off, because they have us wrapped up. They've kept us from the fullness of serving God. But you know, here's what I know this morning. We are a church of imperfect people, but we're striving to serve a perfect God. And that's all we need. God can deal with that. We know that God knows that resurrection is messy. That we're all gonna come alive at different moments and different times. We're all gonna have different things. But you know, we're striving to serve, we're imperfect people, but we're striving to serve a perfect God. We're striving, learning to follow a perfect God. And Christ, guess what? Through his resurrection, he gives us the power to do that. The reality is this, we need each other. I love how Romans 6, closing this morning, says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive, or in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's what I know. Things don't die easily, right? Unless you put me in charge of them. Plants will die in a minute, but here's what I know. Things don't die easily. Things will fight for their lives, right? When we say yes to Jesus, it's messy, because we have to learn a whole new way of life. We have to live as Christ Jesus would have us live, learning to walk and trust in his love. And what does that mean to us? There are things in our lives that we literally have to starve. We have to starve these things. Anything we feed, I know this, anything we feed is going to keep coming back, right? I remember my wife is beautiful, is precious. If you know anything about Kim, she's soft and meek and lovable, right? And I remember where we live, one day there's a stray cat. And kindness came over. Love came over. And she's like, I want to feed it. And I'm like, no. If you keep feeding it, guess what? It'll come back. It'll keep coming back. Hear me this morning. What do you want to have control in your life? Because whatever you feed will live. Whatever you starve will die. Because resurrection can be messy, because it's a process. Jesus had those around Lazarus take off the strips of cloth so that they can be free. And here's what I know this morning. We need each other, and we need a resurrected Savior. We need each other, and we need a resurrected Savior. This Easter, God wants us to find life. I think this Easter, God wants to renew us. I think maybe even for some of us in this room, this Easter, God maybe wants you to recommit your life to him. Maybe you would say, I'm a strong Christian. I'm involved. I love God with my whole heart. But maybe, just maybe, if you really allowed God, the resurrected Savior, to examine you, he'd probably find some grave clothes in your life. And maybe this morning we just need to recommit ourselves to him, recommit our lives to follow him in every way. Because this morning I know this, Jesus is our resurrection. Not an event, not a once a year thing where we get dressed up and we come to church. It is all that. But I don't think the resurrection is just an event. I think the resurrection is a person. It's a person who desires a relationship with you who desires a daily walk with you. What does the resurrection do? It gives us direction to our lives. Disciples, we saw it as soon as the resurrection happened. Yes, there was fear, there was scattering. But after the resurrection, there was direction. The gospel began to, the church was birthed. The gospel began to be spread out. It added direction. What does the resurrection do? It gives Christ meaning in our lives. It gives Christ the opportunity to examine us and say, hey, this is the one time of year, God, maybe, when I can really allow you to examine my heart and my life. And I think the resurrection gives us a whole new perspective and meaning on our lives. And I think God desires this morning to give us hope and to give us a future. I think Christ desires to give us peace. But we have to grasp a hold of the fact that Jesus is your resurrection. Today we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Savior. We're celebrating the fact that he gave up his life willingly. He went to the cross and he sacrificed his life for us. And we are celebrating that today. But it's not only an event, but it's a reality. It's not just another holiday on the calendar. This resurrection is truth. It is a reality for our lives. And what better day than today to make Christ a reality in your life? Allow Jesus to roll the stone away in your life and resurrect you. Because I know this, and I'll close with this thought. Without the cross, there'd be no resurrection. But without the resurrection, there's no hope. Guess what today? This Easter Sunday, we have hope because we serve a resurrected Savior. I remember when my daughter was born, and my first daughter was born, and my wife and I had terrible health insurance. And I remember getting the first bill. It was like $15,000. I'm like, insurance paid. That's after insurance did their little, hey, we got you. They handed me a check, handed me a bill for $15,000. And it got to the point where, like, you know, we had the hospital on speed dial, so when they would call, we knew not to pick up, right? Because we knew they'd be like, where's your money? You have a debt. You owe something. You owe something. Can I tell you something, folks? I do remember the day that I also got the letter that the debt was forgiven. And I remember the feeling that came over me, the relief, the peace. When I got that letter, it says, you no longer owe us this money. The debt has been forgiven. I just want to tell you this morning, wherever you are, maybe you're at a place of peace, maybe you're not at a place of peace, can I tell you something? That Christ has placed a letter in your life that says your debt has been forgiven. You no longer owe anything. Because I died on a cross for you, I rose 3 days later, and I've come to give you life. And life to the fullness. So Father, I pray today, and I thank you for this opportunity we've had to share, to partake of your word. I pray, God, who is Jesus? Jesus is our resurrection. Jesus is our life. And we know that Jesus brings dead things to life. And all of us in this room, whether at some point in our lives or maybe even today, we have been spiritually dead. And maybe some of us have experienced that resurrection in our life where we spiritually came alive. And maybe there's some in the room who haven't. But the reality is that same Jesus is here today, no matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves. That same Jesus is here. And so first, as we pray and close this morning, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for this exorbitant love you have for us, that you would send your son to experience what we experience, to be a part of what we also have to walk through daily. Yet this son, this Savior, was without sin. And he went to a cross and he laid down his life willingly so that we can have a moment like this today. We can pause and say, God, would you make me alive? Would you resurrect me? That is who Jesus is. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just a moment as before we let you go. If you're here this morning, if you've just heard this, and you just say, hey, I need a Savior. I need to be resurrected. Man, there's so many things bogging me down in my life. I need this resurrection. I need to come alive. I need to experience Jesus. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything like that. Just right there in your seat, I just want the opportunity to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, maybe you'd have the confidence just to raise your hand up real quick so I just know who I'm praying for. Anyone in here say, I just need to come alive today. I need this Savior. Anyone at all, real quick. Amen, thank you. Anyone else? Lord, we just thank you for Easter. Before we close, we just pause for a moment. We just want to pause and ask you, God, I ask your Holy Spirit to come and let every person in this room, young or old, experience the love of Christ, the vastness of his love for us. May we experience that today. And Lord, may we be able to celebrate that you bring dead things to life. In Jesus' name.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.